"There's nothing wrong with me," the man says. But the bystander that was witnessing this whole thing said, "But sir, you've just been in a terrible car accident. You're bleeding and you have some deep bruises. There may be internal damage." "Ah, there's nothing wrong with me." "Well, at least have a doctor check you out. We have an ambulance right here. It won't take any time at all." "I told you there is nothing wrong with me." "But sir..." And by now the man's wife came up and they got into her car and went on their way. Later, he dies at home from internal bleeding. "There's nothing wrong with me." Well, that can be a dangerous thing to say, physically and spiritually. It's probably the worst thing a person could possibly say spiritually. For a person to stand before God and say, "There's nothing wrong with me," well, that's incompatible with Christianity and unacceptable to God. I think that there can be a case made that according to the Bible, a Christian is someone who stands before God and says, "There is everything wrong with me." Now, some of us stood before God right here not long ago on Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, and we said that we recognized our sins. We know that we are sinners, and we seek change. But what exactly is this Lent all about? We find the answer as we focus on a story Jesus tells about opposite people. One who said, "There's nothing wrong with me," and the other one who said, "There's everything wrong with me." Now, one of the men in the story represents what Lent isn't, is not, and the other one represents what Lent is. Today, we focus on these two people as we seek to learn better what Lent really is and what it means to us today. Jesus told the story to people who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. "Two men," said Jesus, "went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee was a learned, religious man who showed all the right stuff of his religion." Remember, the Pharisees were the people who lived good, clean lives. The tax collectors, on the other hand, were people who intimidated others and swindled them, perhaps, and made their lives miserable as they collected their wealth from others. Well, both men came to church, went to the temple and prayed. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "God, I thank you that I am such a wonderful person. I thank you that I'm not like these other people that I see around here, the robbers and the evildoers and the adulterers. And, well, I'm really thankful I'm not like that tax collector over there. You know, God, that I fast twice a week and I give a tenth. Everybody can see that every week. People can see that I'm a religious man. And I thank you, God, for that there's nothing wrong with me." Well, maybe he was right. After all, he was a good citizen. He obeyed the law. He lived a moral and upright life, apparently, to everyone else. He even did the religious things that you were supposed to do. He gave 10% to the church. He even fasted twice a week. He followed all the right things to be seen as a religious man. Really, there wasn't much wrong with him on the surface. But then Jesus turned his focus to the tax collector. Now, he was at the opposite end of the spectrum from the Pharisee. He had been stealing money from people his whole life, ruining the lives of others so that he could live it up. He knew that his whole life had been a disaster, and he knew that he deserved to go to hell when he died. Jesus said that the tax collector stood off at a distance, ashamed of who he was and what he had done. He wouldn't even walk up to the front of the temple. He would not look up to heaven as he prayed. But he beat his breast. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. His prayer was the opposite of the Pharisees. Maybe you can sum it up this way, his prayer. God, there's everything wrong with me. Help me. Now, of course, we are neither as good as the Pharisee or as bad as the tax collector. But isn't there just a little bit of both of those characters in each one of us? The Pharisee in us comes to church every week, carrying ourselves just so. Oh, we give back to God a little bit of what he gives to us. But we won't turn in a piece of paper and make a pledge that may bind us to our faith. People just know that we're righteous people by the way we look. The Pharisee in us. And then there's the tax collector in us. We're aware of our faltering faith. We see ourselves the way Jesus sees us, and we're truly sorry and repentant. Who in Jesus' story was the one that went home justified? Who is the one that was acceptable in God's sight? Jesus goes on to say that the sinful tax collector was the one that was forgiven by God and not the perfect Pharisee. Why? How can that be? For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The Pharisee was proud. He was looking down on others, exalting himself. The tax collector was humble, sorry for his sins. What is Jesus saying here? Is he saying that you can earn the forgiveness of sins by being humble? Look at how humble the tax collector is, says God. Now that tax collector deserves to be forgiven, but because he's so humble. Well, is that how it works? No, that's not how it works. And thankfully so for us. If that's why God forgives you, because you are humble, then your salvation would be completely dependent on you and your level of humility. You could never be sure of you that you were forgiven by God, because you would never know if you had been humble enough for God to forgive you. The truth of the matter is that neither the Pharisee nor the tax collector nor any of us deserve God's forgiveness. The Pharisee didn't, because he was conceited and self-righteous. Thought he was better than everybody else. Thought he was perfect. The tax collector didn't deserve God's forgiveness because of the terrible life that he had led. Neither one deserved to be forgiven by God. Thank heavens that God forgives people purely out of his mercy. As a result of his undeserved love, God forgives people. Jesus Christ has taken away the sins of the world, and he offers forgiveness to all because of the sacrifice that he made on the cross, cleansing the world of all of its sin, rising again to his throne in heaven. In this story, God offered forgiveness to both the Pharisee and the tax collector, but only the tax collector received God's forgiveness. Why? Because in his mercy, God chooses to forgive those who humble themselves before him, those who stand before him and say, there's everything wrong with me, Lord, have mercy on me, I am a sinner. Those humble people who recognize their sin, recognize their need for God's help, those are the people that receive God's forgiveness, not because they deserve it, but because they accept it. Not because they're earning it by grieving, but because God shows undeserved love to all of those who are humble and sorry for their sins and accept his love. This humble tax collector is a picture of Lent. The proud Pharisee is the opposite of Lent. Which one are you? Which one are you? How are you observing Lent this year? Do you plan to act extra religious? Many people observe Lent that way, you know. Well, maybe I'll give up something for Lent. I'll no longer watch my favorite TV show. Or maybe for Lent this year, I'll no longer eat chocolate. Maybe I'll give up listening to my favorite CD for Lent. Look at how religious I am. God must be extra happy with me as I refrain from eating chocolate or watching television or listening to my CD. It's the least I can do. And anyway, it's only 40 days, and then I can get back to doing whatever I like to do. Is Lent a time of self-denial? Jesus isn't concerned with chocolate and CDs. He's concerned with what people are going, what's going on in people's hearts. Lent is a time to give up those sins of our lives. It's time to give up the sin of hypocrisy, acting like a Christian on the outside but being proud and self-centered on the inside. Lent is a time to give up the sin of duplicity, being a Christian on Sundays but doing little else to draw attention to our faith the rest of the week, and in fact becoming an unbeliever by Friday. Lent is a time to give up the sin of being lethargic. Well, somebody else will get my act. Someday I'll get my act together, but in the meantime, I'm just too busy to focus on everything except God. Well, I'm getting too old to do that. We'll just let somebody else get the experience and joy of serving in the church or in the community. What is Lent? Lent is that man who stood in the back of the temple and looked down at the ground and prayed to God, "Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner." Lent is a time for us to be like that man, to give up our sinful habits, our sinful attitudes, to stand before God and ask Him to forgive us, to wash away our sins, and to empower us to turn away from our sinful past and to live new lives that are dedicated to God. And after we lay away our sins before Christ, Lent is also a time to give up our guilty feelings. Just as the tax collector walked home justified before God, so can we walk away knowing that we have been forgiven. I no longer have to feel guilty about my sins. I no longer have to beat myself up about the way that I've been living, because I know I've been forgiven. I know that my sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can start over. I can work hard to be someone who obeys God, who worships God every day with the way that I live my life. Lent is an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude of honesty and humility as we confess our sins to God. But Lent is also an attitude of relief and joy, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, that our slate has been wiped clean, and as we seek to serve our God, serve our God with our lives. These 40 days are a time for you and me to look deep into your heart, to think about your life and how you've been living it. What sin are you giving up for Lent and for the rest of your life? Jesus will forgive that sin. He'll wash that sin away at the cross. And Jesus promises to empower you to live a new life. A new life that glorifies Him. If people want to temporarily give up certain things for Lent as a sign of love for the Savior, that's fine. But what Christ is really concerned about is what is in your heart. On Ash Wednesday, we began that long walk to the cross. That long walk where we see just how serious and terrible our sins are. But a long walk where we also see how wonderful and deep our Savior's love is for us. And the road doesn't end there at the cross. but at the empty tomb where Jesus rises from the dead to prove that all of your sins have been forgiven. May God bless you as you continue your Lenten journey. Know God's love and share that love with someone every day, that they may come to know Christ and His forgiveness and His love. Amen.